Trump, the EU, and the NATO numbers. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. President Trump is in Brussels today meeting with NATO. He's pushing for NATO to formally join a coalition focused against ISIS and is pushing for other NATO countries to spend more on their militaries. The term of art here is burden sharing. Here with some numbers on that is Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen?
All NATO members are committed to hit a target of spending at least 2% of their GDP on their defence spending. The US clearly exceeds that target, but many of the other 27 member states do not. The US has complained for many years about the US having to bear the overwhelming burden of military spending in this alliance, some 70%. Trump, however, seems more serious about this issue. He really does want the Europeans to step up and pay up more.
Just looking at World Bank figures, the U.S. in 2015 spent, according to their calculation, 3.3% of our GDP. Now, it's, of course, lower for the Europeans, but the Europeans are spending more on defense.
Yes. I mean, last year it was up by some $10 billion. This is actually more to do with Russia's intervention in Ukraine than Trump. But there is a problem for many of the 27 other states hitting the target. It would involve an extra, in total, $100 billion of spending. And this is not popular, especially in a country like Germany, which would be required to spend something like an extra $32 billion a year. Defense spending is not popular in Germany. This is an election year, and this could become an election issue if President Trump is insistent.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard watching this from London. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
We're monitoring the meeting in Vienna now of the OPEC oil producers cartel. Just now, the Financial Times snapped with a headline that delegates have agreed to extend production cuts for 9 more months. This according to unnamed delegates. Oil traders around the world are watching this. And on the New York Mercantile Exchange, I'm just looking at the price of benchmark crude now down 2%, $50.31 a barrel. More people are co-signing on mortgages for first-time homebuyers. Marketplace's Ryan Kailoth reports on that.
Mortgage rates are rising, which means buying the same-priced home costs more money every month. And that naturally scares some people away. So what edge do these first-time homebuyers have? Danielle Hale at the National Association of Realtors says,
almost a quarter of first-time buyers indicate that they received a gift from a relative or friend.
As in, help with their down payment. But that's not the only friends and family boost. Darren Bloomquist, a VP at Adam, says if first-time homebuyers can't get a mortgage on their own, it appears they're getting mom or dad to co-sign.
22% of homes that were purchased in the first quarter had at least two non-married borrowers on the loan.
So, parents helping their kids. Sounds nice, right?
I see it as a little bit of a danger.
Bloomquist says, sure, it's great if parents can afford to help their kid buy a home. But if your kid stops paying,
you're going to be left holding the bag,
which is not exactly a solid foundation for a housing market. In New York, I'm Ryan Kailoth for Marketplace.
Let's check some other numbers. The 100-share index in London is up by not quite 0.2%. A day after China's economy found its credit downgraded for the first time in 28 years, the CSI stock index in Shanghai rose 1.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 3-4% range, plus 77 points for the Dow future. One way to beat the high cost of college, graduate early. Higher ed used to conspire to make this tough, but that is changing. Case in point, New York University, which is an expensive place, recently announced a program that helps students save the cost of a semester by loading up on extra courses during the academic year or during winter and summer breaks. But does the condensed version of this affect quality? Kristen Schwab reports.
To say 21-year-old NYU student Ashley Korkikoski-Sears is busy would be an understatement. In May, she'll graduate with a BS in English, but she also minored in Spanish and sociology. She's in NYU's UNICEF club and student government. She works two part-time jobs, and she's done all of this in just 3 years. I caught up with her between classes at NYU's Student Center.
When do you sleep?
I make it work.
Korkikoski-Sears is cramming it in for one reason.
It's just so much cheaper. you save $64,000, basically. Like, I would have had to take out a lot more loans to pay for my fourth year.
According to the Institute for College Access and Success, students from public universities graduated with an average of more than $30,000 in debt in 2015, and those at private schools often had more. Priya Malani of Stash Wealth advises millennials. She says a three-year degree is a win-win.
Because the sooner you can get done paying off your debt, the sooner you can get to planning for the fun stuff, like upgrading your lifestyle and travel and down payment on a home and retirement.
Malani says, think about the money saved from that fourth year plus the salary earned in place of it. And finishing school early can show employers drive and hustle.
We live in a world where you kind of have to hustle to get the job done.
But Corbin Campbell, a professor of higher education at Columbia University, isn't sold. She says time students spend studying is related to how much they retain.
Higher education is not a factory, right? So it's not just that you want to get a diploma and a piece of paper, but hopefully that you're thinking about the learning, the knowledge, the skills that you want to actually get from this degree.
The National Center for Education Statistics says more than one-third of college students change their major at least once. Campbell says that's why students should take the full 4 years, to figure out who they want to be. Ashley Korky-Koski-Sears, the very busy NYU student, admits an accelerated degree is not for everyone.
So I think for the student that needs that time to figure that out, a three-year program's just not going to cut it.
Up next for Korky-Koski-Sears, 1 year of AmeriCorps, then law school. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
And fans of retro technology, don't miss this. Some ex-employees of the Finnish company Nokia got together to get the rights to a famous mobile phone that was all the rage around the turn of the millennium, the same way VW brought back the Beetle. These folks are bringing back to the market the Nokia 3310 phone. Remember this? It had big pressable buttons, was famously indestructible, and while the new model has no 3 or 4G or Wi-Fi, on a single charge it goes like a month. New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.